Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. At least that's what they tell me. And we're having a great time. And the studio was filled today. They did a great job. Let me just tell you, to my left, flanking me, is one of my favorite co-hosts, John Dustin. Hi, John.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for having me back.
Good. I don't have to thank you. You're always welcome in our studios. And yeah, John is, again, the CEO of JED Insurance. I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls with the election.
Believe it or not, Jeff, I think more investment people receive calls than we did.
You know, I know a lot of people who are in the health insurance business who are scrambling right now, too.
You're not going to see, and I can't predict, but I don't think you're going to see a major reform right away. I think it'll be status quo for a little bit, although it is a crisis already, so we'll have to see.
I don't know. The Republican leaders, not our new president-elect, has said that's where they want to go first, right to Obamacare. So it'll be interesting. But our guest, someone I know you know well, and I know you respect this person a lot, I'm going to be very careful what I say. I don't want to get in trouble, but I usually like to act up when I'm on radio, is Megan Taylor, CEO, founder, I assume, of the Taylor HR Group. Welcome.
Welcome to you, too.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, and thanks very much for having me.
Great. You know, Megan, you came with a real reputation. John has said wonderful things about you and the work that you do, so why don't you tell our listeners, so that we don't have to have John explain you, what you do?
Well, Taylor HR Group provides outsourced HR services to small and growing companies, organizations that may not have a regular full-time HR resource or even part-time resource. And so we provide services to get them set up with their HR function if they don't have one already, and then provide ongoing HR resources as they grow and or have issues, as is wont to happen with employees and other situations that arise. So we are an outsourced service that comes in on an as-needed basis.
Jeff, one of the things you may not know about Megan, she has a pretty interesting operational background in legal education, which affords her the ability to go into multiple audiences. Megan, why don't you explain a little bit about your history and how you got to where you're at?
Well, the first part of my career was as a traditional lawyer practicing law, and it took me probably way too long to figure out that it was not a good fit for me. And I then became in-house counsel to a very small software company that had been sent west from the UK to sell software in America. And as they grew, they did not, because of their background, have a full understanding of what it meant to have HR issues and employees in the United States. So I took on that role at the company and became not only their in-house counsel, but their HR director. And they had offices around the world with all kinds of very interesting problems that developed. And so it was a great experience, not only from the legal side, but also from the HR side, to deal with complex global HR issues, as well as more routine, what are we going to do with the guy down the hall kind of question. And so I thought that that experience would be beneficial to other small companies. And so I've taken that experience as a boots on the ground HR director, and also my background as an attorney, to really help small companies deal with compliance, employee issues, and other complex benefits, wage issues, and all sorts of things that happen in the workplace. We all know that strange and crazy things happen in the workplace once you have employees.
As long as you have people.
As happens. Long as you have people, things can happen. And so I think often employers are not prepared for these kinds of situations or know how to handle them when they arise.
Jeff, you probably see it a lot where the complexity of human resources gets delegated and it's rapid changes and follow-ups and things that occur that an entrepreneur, a small business owner, can't handle on their own or within their firm.
Well, you know, I was telling Megan, well, first of all, especially in family business, I find people are not aware of the rules. They think the rules are set by the family. And, you know, it's nice to know that the family governs some things, but the government has more power than the family, and the government sets rules. And I do see a discrepancy at times between what they think is appropriate behavior that's set by the family and what is a truly appropriate behavior or professional behavior. But what I do find, and I said this to Megan off the air, is that a lot of my clients they hire human resources, and it becomes a catch-all, like the old country doctor in the old movies. You know, the doctor that did amputations and your eye tests and looked at your nasal passages. And they hire these professionals who are nice people. They usually are always nice. They're one of the more pleasant people to be dealing with. But they're not a catch-all for everything. They can't do everything. And then they become frustrated with their HR departments. And I don't think it's the HR department's fault. I think it's the entrepreneur's fault for putting unrealistic expectations. And I think someone like Megan is an important asset to the entrepreneur, because it supplements the skills of the HR department. And I don't know if that's okay that I sort of say it that way.
Well, yes. I mean, I think I offer strategic advice that maybe a more more of an HR generalist, as you say, may not have a full understanding of. And also, I find that small organizations, even if you have, you know, under 20 employees, you can still have a very complicated business operation. You might have 5 employees in California, which is like a whole nother country in the HR world. You might have one guy in North Carolina, someone else, you know, spread across the United States, and not really appreciate the variances in state law. You know, how do you write a handbook for a small company that has employees spread over 5 or 6 states? And what kinds of considerations do you have to think
about? That's complicated.
It's complicated. And, you know,
it's like Massachusetts is a world upon itself.
It is.
You know,
it
just
is.
Like California is, you know, that Massachusetts is, and so is New York. They're very unique. They're all unique, and it's not as subtle as people think it is.
Right. And I don't think you can put a blanket approach over your HR function if you have some of these issues. So you really need to be thinking, you know, where do I need to be compliant, and where do I have employees, and what are the local laws?
Well, even, you know, you say it, and, you know, you made fun of me before the show, which I appreciate. I do, and everybody does who likes me, so you started off on the right foot with me. You're saying on a macro level, things are so different. But on a micro level, Americans are snowflakes. Everyone is constructed differently from the ground up. And they have to all fit together into one mountain in every company. And a lot of people don't realize that. And when you're dealing with snowflakes, you can't deal with them with one personal policy, because we all have different definitions of aggression, of communication, of closeness, of proximity, of communication. And you're aware of both the macro issues that you described, but also the micro issues. And what are the overlying policies that are within the state and federally, correct?
Well, that too, and also as an attorney, I have a very fertile imagination, so I can think of lots of things that can go wrong. So, for example, an employer might be giving their staff company cell phones or mobile devices, or they may expect their staff to be using personal devices to access company data. Well, that can be a huge minefield that many employers and companies don't think about. What happens when I leave my iPhone at a bar? I wouldn't do that, but what happens if an employee does that and it's lost or stolen?
I don't go to bars.
Right, exactly.
I don't know, maybe bars don't want me.
Right. So I lose, or my iPhone is stolen. What happens to that device if I've been accessing the company
server?
Benefits census renewal that is on my email that has everyone's dates of birth, addresses, and social security numbers.
Ooh, I got the chills just thinking about it.
Yes, I love invoking fear like that. But that's something that often people don't think about, they don't want to think about, but they really should.
So there's a takeaway of not treating things homogeneously. But what do you see for complexities coming in 2017? I know there's a whole...
Oh, this is going to be a big year of change, isn't
big
it?
Big year of change, and I guess I won't get into the Affordable Care Act, what might happen to that. But
we could have a tsunami of change.
We will have a tsunami of change. And not only on that, but on a number of issues that employers may not often think about. For example, it's a tiny thing in some people's minds, but there's a new I-9 form that's coming out that needs to be used in January. And there are penalties and fines for employers if you're not properly completing and maintaining and destroying your I-9 form. There's the new, as many employers probably know, wage and hour laws that are going into effect in December. I would venture to say that many employers do not currently understand and implement the current laws properly.
I know that for a fact.
Yes. I shouldn't say
you can't hire a contractor. Why not?
Right. So people don't really have their head around the current laws and how to implement them, never mind those changes. And I think there will be a lot of people that will be surprised. when they do that kind of
audit. It's complicated. Yeah, that's really what, you know, what I try to say to people. And I feel about my, I always feel vulnerable about my own business. I always feel like what's going on that I don't know about. And there's always, and I assume there's always something out there that I don't know about. That's a new law, new wage, new pay, new non-competes, how you do non-competes. And I'm always nervous. And you know, I assume you're out there to help people make sure they're on top of that.
Well, hopefully I can help them have an eye to where their exposures are and how to get there either by complying with the law or using best practices. What will really help them to give them that protection so they're not caught unaware if there's a bad situation.
Well, I tell people before we give your address that there, you know, we know that the three of us are all good people because we're all dog owners. Not dog owners. Dogs are part of our family.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I wouldn't want to say, oh, I don't like that term owner thing. It's not nice.
It's not.
For me, it's, yeah, when you're a dog owner, that's not a politically correct term, I guess, for those who are listening. But we all love dogs. And so we for anyone's listening, Megan's special. She has multiple friends in her home.
I do. I have two rescues. One is a boxer mom and an unknown dad, because that's the way it always goes. And the other one is a pit bull mix.
Oh, boy.
Shockingly, I guess, for some people. But both great dogs, and they make me very happy.
And just because I want people to know that these people are nice people who are in front of me. John has a sweet dog, which he'll say is, and John was posting pictures of his dog to me on Halloween wearing a giant hot dog costume. John, what kind of dog do you have?
It's an English yellow lab.
Okay, and I have the dog that says I have confidence. I have a half poodle, half Bichon. Yeah, I have a little sweetie who goes with me on the airplane. He walks through the airport with everyone staring at me, and he walks onto the plane free, steps and jumps on my lap and lies on my lap on the plane as I fly all the time. He's just a sweetheart, and everybody says afterward, he's really well behaved, isn't he? And I go, better than any of the kids you noticed on the plane. Didn't you notice that? He is. So, but if someone wants to find you, Megan, and I think you have an essential service, and I wish you will come back to the show many times and talk about different issues. It would be, I think, something our listeners would want to know about. How would they find you?
Well, my website is www.taylorhrgroup.com. And they can send an email to info@TaylorHR Group. They can also sign up for my newsletter on my website, and I send out periodic newsletters about up and coming changes in the law or things to keep in mind.
And yes? Jeff, we also can collaborate with her, and we can conduct an audit for firms if they're interested in just a quick review of their HR policies, procedures, et cetera. Megan,
important.
Can conduct an audit.
Important. That's very important.
Service.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of just doing these software programs that people download or reading things. You have to get a professional who can adapt it to who you are.
She does a physical audit of everything.
And right. Having Megan on the show a lot is good, because every time I open, at least one out of every three times I'll open up my mouth, she can point out to listeners that I'm being inappropriate.
Well, I think I did that on my way into the studio.
Yeah, but
I?
The mic wasn't on yet.
Okay.
But I do it by design.
Right.
The filterless, sure. Yeah. The filterless Jeff Davis.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, it's been a pleasure. I want to thank our guests for being on this segment, and we're going to take a break. Remind them, you can find Megan on the Radio Entrepreneurs website for at least 45 days. Plus, you can find her on our YouTube channel. You can find John also sitting beside me on the YouTube channel. Here we are. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.